Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Mary did not ride an elephant into Bethlehem that night. So you go home and you go to your church and you tell people, I'm a Democrat, I'm a God-fearing Democrat.
Feminists have to begrudgingly admit that women are better suited to babies and nurturing, but insists upon telling women to let go of their desire to care for their babies.
If you're going to say that the Lord's Supper is only a memorial meal, you'd have to say the same thing about the Passover. But it wasn't. It actually was God at work bringing his people out of bondage.
Nebraska Oregon students love Issues Etc.
Well, late last week, the U.S. Supreme Court agreed to take up the case of the Little Sisters of the Poor. This is a group of Catholic nuns that are facing tens of millions of dollars in IRS fines because they cannot, according to their own faith and their conscience, include contraceptives in their employee health plan. You've heard about the Little Sisters of the Poor. They were before the court before, in which the court simply said to the government, hold off a little bit, and now they're going to get a chance to be heard by the full court in their challenge to the HHS mandate on contraceptives and health care providing. We're going to be talking here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon about the Supreme Court's decision to accept that case. Adele Keim, legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C., will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Marcus Zill joins us. We're going to talk about some recent survey results that show a decline in participation in religious groups on college and university campuses. Dr. Albert Moeller will join us after that. A Christian response to the moral revolution, that's his term, the moral revolution. He's president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, author of numerous books, including his latest, We Cannot Be Silent. Then after our conversation with Dr. Moeller, Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson. We'll be talking about the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapters 19 and 20. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions and your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the Supreme Court's decision to accept legal challenges to the Health and Human Services mandate, Adele Keim, legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. Adele, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here.
Why are the Little Sisters of the Poor back at the Supreme Court now?
The short answer is because the government can't take no for an answer. The Supreme Court has rebuked the government 5 times about its controversial contraceptive and abortion drug mandate. But the government keeps coming back for more. You see, they won't give up on their quest to use the Little Sisters of the Poor health plan to provide contraceptives, including drugs that can destroy a newly created human life, to get them out to the Little Sisters employees.
So in essence, is it kind of proving true that this is a test case for the government to see whether if they can do this to the Little Sisters of the Poor, then essentially they can have the Supreme Court's support on what they want to do to all religious entities?
That's absolutely right. The government knows that if it can do this to the Little Sisters of the Poor and their Catholic benefits provider, Christian Brothers, there's really no one that they can't do it to.
What's the issue here? Give us a little history lesson.
Well, in 2010, Congress passed the Affordable Care Act. And then in 2011, the Department of Health and Human Services issued a small, little-known ruling saying that the ACA was going to be interpreted to require every healthcare plan to cover contraceptives without cost sharing. Now, I say every, but actually there are some loopholes, and they're big enough to drive a truck through. For example, if you're a big business with a so-called grandfather plan, like ExxonMobil or Pepsi Cola bottling company, and you've grandfathered in the same healthcare plan that you had in 2010, you don't have to comply with this mandate. There are also some other exceptions. After a widespread outcry, the government decided that it could see its way clear to exempt churches. So the bishops, the Catholic bishops, are currently completely exempt. They can continue to offer the same conscience-compliant healthcare plans that they've always offered that don't cover contraceptives. But when it came to religious groups that go outside of the four walls of the church and actually serve the poor and the needy in our society, people like the Little Sisters of the Poor, whose mission is to care for the poor elderly up until death, they are not exempt. And the government has said why. It's because the government wants to be able to use their health care plan infrastructure to carry out the government's mission of delivering contraceptives to the Little Sisters employees.
So what's the argument on the side of the Little Sisters and the other agencies that have been bundled together before the Supreme Court in this case? What is their argument?
The Little Sisters say clearly, we are religious enough to deserve the full exemption that you have given to the Catholic bishops and the Baptist church down the street. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, and we deserve to be treated that way, and respect our religious exercise of offering conscience-compliant healthcare benefits deserve to be respected in law. Little Sisters also turn to the right and the left, and they point out that under Title X, the government is already spending $500 million a year to provide contraceptives at free or low cost to American women through Planned Parenthood clinics. Why does the government need the Little Sisters to do Planned Parenthood's work for them?
There are others involved in this besides the Little Sisters. They're the most visible and well-known name in this case. Who else are we talking about?
Many, many other religious organizations have come to court, joined hands with the Little Sisters. There are 400 other Catholic nonprofits, Catholic charities that have joined in the Little Sisters case that the Little Sisters are representing, so to speak, hundreds of others in their same case. They're also, it's not just a Catholic issue, it's a Protestant issue as well. Southern Baptist insurance provider Guidestone has sued, along with Reaching Souls International, which is a missionary sending organization, an organization that cares for orphans in Africa. They have come to court and said, why aren't we religious enough to deserve a full exemption? Many religious colleges, like Truett McConnell College in Georgia, colleges across the country really, have also said, look, our job is to transmit our faith to the next generation of students. We equip them to go out in the world and be productive citizens. We deserve protection too. So there's a whole swath of different religious organizations that are standing shoulder to shoulder with the Little Sisters and saying, why is the government distinguishing between us and between the churches? Just for a bit of background, for 40 years, the government has not distinguished between the Little Sisters and the bishops when it comes to major issues of religious liberty, like Title VII, the employment rights law, right? It says if you're a religious educational institution or a religious corporation, you get the same rights. Doesn't matter whether you're a church or whether you're a soup kitchen serving the poor. We recognize you're a religious nonprofit organization, and we are going to respect your ability to run your organization in a way that reflects your deepest beliefs. So this was a real departure in 2011 when the government said, no, we're not going to respect the beliefs of all religious organizations. We're going to try and slice and dice it. We're going to try and slice it very fine and exclude people like the Little Sisters of the Poor from our exemption. That was a surprise move. And that's one of the things that's caused so much concern, because if the government does it in this case, it can do it in a host of other situations. And that's why so many religious organizations, including the Catholic bishops themselves and other, you know, church-based organizations, have said, look, we may be exempted, but if the ministries that we support and help run are not exempt, then that is not religious freedom, because religious freedom involves more than just what you do in the four walls of your church or your mosque or your gurdwara. It involves what you do as a religious person out in the world.
It also strikes me, Adele, that part and parcel, a premise of religious freedom is that the government doesn't get to decide a priori who is religious and who isn't. That's not their decision to make.
You know, that's absolutely right. The government could certainly ask if you're being sincere or not, right? The first church of pot smoking may not get the same treatment by the courts or by the government. They don't deserve to. If there's a question about sincerity, whether you're actually religious or whether you're using religion to mask other motives, the government definitely gets to question that. The courts get to question that. And that's right. But the government doesn't get to choose who's religious enough. It doesn't get to say we're going to pick religious winners and losers. That goes back to the founding. Very, very earliest days of our republic, the diverse religious people in this country stood up and said, we don't want the government, particularly not the federal government, deciding which religious groups are going to be the winners and which ones are going to be the losers. And that's why we have the First Amendment.
The first time that the Supreme Court saw this, what did they do, and what do you, based on that, expect the Supreme Court to do now that it's agreed to hear the case again?
Well, you remember they saw it in Hobby Lobby, and they ruled in favor of Hobby Lobby. But even before Hobby Lobby was decided, they saw it on New Year's Eve. The Little Sisters themselves went up before the court on an emergency motion, very, very rare kind of emergency request for relief. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, just before midnight on New Year's Eve, issued a stay and said, hey, let's wait. Let's give ourselves some time to think about this. Let's not crush the Little Sisters with fines, which is what the government wanted to do, before we step back and see whether what the government is doing is correct. And then 3 weeks later, the entire court said, told the government to back off. They rebuked the government. They said, we're not weighing in on the merits, but the Little Sisters do not have to sign over control of their health care plans to the government while their case goes on in court. Little Sisters have been protected by that order ever since. They're still protected by it today. I think that order was a great, and then a few months later, they did the same thing for Wheaton College, which is the Evangelical Christian College. I think those orders are a great sign that the Supreme Court understands when the government has another way of accomplishing its policy goals that does not involve crushing the religious conscience of women like the Little Sisters of the Poor, then it needs to use those alternatives. When the government can go to Planned Parenthood and say, here, we'll give you money, direct subsidy, so that you can pass out contraceptives to American women, they don't need to use the Little Sisters to accomplish that same policy goal if they can go down to Planned Parenthood and get that goal accomplished just as well.
Why do you think it's so important for the government right now to keep pursuing this, to keep bringing this back up and not, as you say, not taking no for an answer?
I don't know why the government has picked this particular fight, and it's sad because this could have been a moment for us to all step back and reflect and recognize that Americans disagree about sex, we disagree about religion, but in our society, we agree that we are able to live together in harmony despite our disagreements. We're able to respect each other's boundaries, our no-go zones, right? We respect that, and we don't force people to violate their conscience unless there's really, really no alternative. I wish the government had seen it that way. This could have been a moment of building unity, but instead it's been 4 years, four long years of division.
Is this, in essence, a potential landmark case in religious liberty, depending on how the court finally decides?
There is no question that the battle over the HHS contraceptive and abortion drug mandate is and has been a landmark battle in the religious liberty history of the United States. And we fully expect that the decision that the Supreme Court makes this spring will also be a landmark decision.
Adele Keim is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. You'll find out more about the Beckett Fund at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Adele, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the decline in interest and participation in Christian groups on the college and university campus. Pastor Marcus Zill will be our guest.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in-store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, Etc. November 4th through 10th, and join us for a live broadcast from CPH on Thursday afternoon, November the 5th. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale online and in-store, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale, November 4th through 10th.